Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. About 2 weeks ago, we spoke with Chet Burrell, CEO of CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield, Maryland's largest health insurer. When he told us that CareFirst premiums are likely to keep rising, I asked why the cost of treating patients won't stabilize as the newly insured catch up on treatment they may have put off. He said access to health insurance isn't a quick fix for the chronic conditions that afflict many Marylanders.
The people who come in could have, and we already see this, have multiple chronic diseases that last over time. Heart disease mixed with hypertension, mixed with diabetes, mixed with asthma, on multiple medications, chronic disease endures.
So we've followed up on that sobering thought. How do chronic conditions fit into the picture of our healthcare system? We reached out to Gerard Anderson, a professor of health policy and management at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. He's looked deeply into how we treat chronic conditions in the U.S., and he's with us by phone now to talk about it. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
We just heard the head of Maryland's biggest insurer tick off a few chronic conditions. What are the most common?
Well, the most common one are hypertension, high cholesterol, asthma in children, diabetes. But the real problem is that most people don't just have one problem, they have multiple problems.
Well, let me get a picture first of how many people in the U.S. have a chronic disease at all.
About 45% of us, so about 150 million Americans have at least one chronic condition.
And has that changed a lot?
Yes, it's going up, unfortunately. I mean, if you looked maybe 25 years ago, it would probably be about 30%, so it's gone from 30% to 45% over 20 years. I mean, that's quite a rapid increase in the percentage of people, and it's projected to reach 50% by about 2025.
And how much, therefore, of our healthcare dollars go for treating chronic conditions?
More than 80% of our healthcare dollar are by people who have chronic conditions. But unfortunately, we don't have a great number to say how much of those expenditures are for exactly the chronic conditions, because those people who have chronic conditions get hit by a bus, they develop colds, they do all sorts of other things. But what we know is that about the 45% of the people, or a little less than half of them, who have a chronic condition are about 80% of the health expenditures. So on average, they're about two and a half times more expensive than somebody who doesn't have a chronic condition.
And I think perhaps you have looped us back. I think perhaps one of the reasons for that is what you mentioned a minute ago. Many people who have a chronic condition have more than one.
Yeah, about a quarter of all Americans have two or more, and obviously that percentage increases as you get older. So once you start being over age 65, it's over half of us have two or more chronic conditions.
How did we get here?
Well, we got here both from good luck and bad luck. The good part of it is if we'd lived in 1900, we would have died of an infectious disease or something like that, and we would have died by the age of 47. But we're living longer. If we look ahead in 1950, we would have died probably something like a heart attack, and we would have died at the age 55 or 60. Now, because we're doing so well in taking care of the infectious diseases, and we've been able to keep people from dying from heart attacks and cardiovascular disease and other things, although they still do, what's happened is people are living longer and therefore developing chronic diseases. But at the same time, we're not doing very well in preventing chronic diseases. So probably the major new thing that's happening right now is the obesity epidemic, where we're just getting heavier and heavier, and that causes us to have all sorts of chronic conditions that we didn't have 20 or 30 years ago. We're getting better with smoking. We're getting a little bit better in alcohol abuse, and those are the three main risk factors, smoking, alcohol abuse, and obesity, that cause most of the chronic conditions.
That's Gerard Anderson, professor of health policy and management at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, here on Maryland Morning, 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the impact of chronic conditions on the U.S. healthcare system. So you're saying the expertise that we developed about handling infectious diseases and and
acute illnesses,
we haven't developed that same kind of expertise in handling these chronic conditions.
We haven't at all. And we sort of know what are the risk factors, so we know how to prevent it, but we don't know exactly how to prevent obesity. I mean, it's getting worse, not getting better. We just don't have the handle on how to communicate with the American public as to how to reduce the level of obesity in America. We did quite well with smoking. We still have 20% of us that smoke, but we dropped that from 40%, but alcohol remained pretty much the same, and obesity's gotten worse. But we also just don't know how to treat somebody with four or five chronic conditions. We just don't have the evidence base, and we just don't know how to make the healthcare system work for somebody who has lots of problems.
What do you mean we don't have the evidence base?
Well, when we do a clinical trial, which is the standard way to gather information on the best way to treat somebody, we almost always exclude the people who have multiple chronic conditions or the people that are old from the clinical trials. So when the FDA does a clinical trial of drugs, or when the NIH does a clinical trial of many of the procedures or treatments that they do, they have a very strict, rigorous exclusion criteria because they want to figure out whether that drug, whether that procedure works, and they don't want a complicated person. But then, when you go in there and try to figure out whether or not you should use that drug or that procedure on a complicated person, you don't have the evidence base to actually take care of that person. So we just don't know exactly the right way to treat a complicated person. So every doctor does it a little bit differently because there isn't a real scientific basis for figuring out how to do it.
Is that changing?
We are starting to do it. We have a number of trials at the NIH. The FDA has made some changes in how they do clinical trials and ask the drug companies to include more people in their clinical trials. There's entities that have been established as part of the Affordable Care Act called PCORI, which is trying to get at these kinds of things. So we know that there's a problem out there. We just haven't figured out how to solve it yet. Hopefully we will, but it's not something that we've been working at for a long time. It wasn't until about 2000 that we realized the extent of the problem in chronic disease and the multiple chronic conditions that exist. And it takes a while for research and health systems to change. So we were putting a lot of effort into the change. Unfortunately, most of the efforts that we've tried so far have not been very successful.
I thought evidence-based care was one of the hallmarks of the Affordable Care Act, and you tell me there isn't much evidence on which to base care of chronic conditions. What is the Affordable Care Act doing about chronic conditions, if anything?
Well, it's doing a lot. It's got a whole series of demonstrations out there to try to figure out what is the evidence base. But what we've done in the past is collect information about how to take care of your diabetes well, or how to take care of your congestive heart failure well, all of which is absolutely vitally important. But the problem is, for example, in the Medicare population, only 4% of diabetics only have diabetes. And so to find the right way to take care of somebody with diabetes in the elderly population and ignoring all the comorbidities they have really doesn't give the information. And so we're trying to design new clinical trials, new ways to look at large databases in order to try to figure out what is the best way to take care of mom or grandma who has diabetes and congestive heart failure and some arthritis and maybe some beginning Alzheimer's and a few other things wrong with her. And each person is unique, and we're trying to figure out with this evidence base, how do we amass all the data we've got to try to figure out the best way to treat her?
We have just like half a minute left. What else needs to change in the health system to address chronic disease?
Well, payment methodology. We just don't really know how to pay providers who want to do the right thing for taking care of somebody who has seven things wrong with her. We just don't pay them appropriately to do this stuff. So we've got to change the payment system because, unfortunately, doctors are busy and have to respond to the needs and their financial concerns of running a very busy office.
You have given us a lot to think about. Thank you so much.
I'm glad to do it.
Gerard Anderson, he's a professor of health policy and management at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. We have more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead, the story of America's first woman in space. Stay with us on 88.1.